The Holy Gospel according to the 17th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please be seated. Okay, so we're going to take a small survey. Has anybody ever been to the top of a mountain? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to ask you, what was the experience like for you? Out of breath. Out of breath. Had you hiked it? You hiked it. Okay, yeah, that'll make you out of breath. What's that? Pushing a stroller, no less. Wow. Wow. Oh, that must have been quite the experience. Were you out of breath when you got there and like... Glad to be there? It was beautiful. Awesome. There was a couple back. Yeah, what was your mountaintop experience? Pikes Peak. In Washington? No. Colorado. Oh, and what was it like there? Yeah, how far out could you see that day? Four states. That's pretty good. Has anybody ever had a scary experience on top of a mountain? Driving it. Oh. Oh, you did the hairpin zigs, the switchbacks. Never again. Was it better going up than coming down?
Yeah.
Yes. Was it a single lane?
No, it was gravel. Going down, it stopped.
Wait, they stopped you because the brakes were too hot and you couldn't stop, right? Oh, yikes. Yeah, I've had a lot of mountaintop experiences where you go and you can just look and you can see, it seems like forever, and it's glorious. But I've also had a scary one, and I'll spare you all the details, but basically my daughter and I were traveling, and the roads had gotten icy and slushy, so we took a road we didn't know in Pennsylvania, and it ended up to be a mountain road, and it was a little dangerous, and we almost ended up sliding off the side, and nobody knew we were there. It was pretty scary. Like, it took us a while to collect ourselves, and it was just, honestly, if I go too much into detail, I'm going to get lost in my thought, because it just takes me right back to that second where you're seeing trees coming by your face this way, and you know you've got about 500 yards straight down, and you're going to be in a valley where no one will find you until I was driving, which made it even worse. And yeah, when your car goes into a side, or we were coming down the hill, and we had angled, and we were going this way, and then down, and it just seemed like we went faster, 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 and then a car came, and it was terrifying. And it changed my life, needless to say. Well, in our gospel lesson, we have mountaintop experience. And mountains in the Bible, some of you might recall, they're kind of special places, right? Big things happen on the mountaintop. We learned in our Old Testament lesson, on the mountaintop is where Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And of course, it affected him so much that, quote, the skin on his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And I can only imagine what that must have been like for people who encountered him when his face was just shining like the sun, all radiant because he had had that fabulous experience with God. And then also in 1 Kings, we have Elijah, who's a prophet. He fled to Mount Horeb, and God spoke to him in a sound of sheer silence. And I can only imagine what that must have felt like, and how that changed his life as well. And it is, of course, Elijah and Moses, these two guys who appear on the mountain with Jesus while he's there with his companions of Peter, James, and John. So a little bit of history. The history of Moses and Elijah and why it's important that they're there with Jesus, they represent the law and the prophets. And they've received a revelation of a type given to them by God. They're also expected to appear at the coming of the Messianic age and have both been taken into heaven and are able to provide Jesus with divine revelation. So Jesus, too, on this mountaintop, is having something change his life as well as he's speaking with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, and getting this revelation. It's not just some regular, organized, planned trip where they're at this mountain hanging out and checking out the sights. Things are going to happen. I think big things are going to happen. I wonder what it was like for Peter, James, and John. They're there with their friend Jesus, talking, whatever, and I mean, seriously, real weird things happen, right? Jesus is transfigured right before their very eyes. His face shines like the sun, and his clothes become a dazzling white. Now, I don't know about you, but if that happened to one of my friends, I'd be kind of scared. Or what if I did it right now? It would be weird, right? Well, that's what's happening here. And see, they get scared. So they fall down to the ground and they're afraid. They don't know what to do. And then Jesus, as you know, comes up and he touches them and he says, "Get up and don't be afraid." Already this is getting a little stranger. How do you not be afraid when something like that happens? I would be. But I'd be intrigued also. And then when they get up, Peter, James, and John, they look up, Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus is there by himself. How did Moses and Elijah get there, and where did they go when they left? It's really weird. And then we have that part in there, of course, where Peter, he says to Jesus, "Look, Lord, it's really good for us to be here." He's having a good time on this mountaintop, right? He's enjoying the whole experience. There's cool things happen. He's hanging out with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He's got the law, the prophets, and Jesus all in one spot. And he wants to hang there. He wants to build dwelling places for them. And I'm thinking, it doesn't say this, but if it was me, I'd want to be there and get all the information and just spend time with them as much as I could. Now, I asked earlier about your mountaintop experiences, and I didn't hear anybody say about any mountaintop experiences here in the Romeo area. Now, I know we're all called flatlanders for a reason, but we have those experiences too. Those experiences were with Jesus where we get the whole thing. Those little glimpses of him in our presence, right? And sometimes we might not realize it at that moment that he's with us and that he's helping us. But when we reflect back on it, we can see where he was at work in our lives. And when you have those moments, you want to hang on to them for as long as you can, right? You just want to float in the gloriousness of all that is in Christ. So too with Peter. He wanted that to happen. Did you notice that Peter, when he says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make the dwellings." While he's still speaking, while Peter is still speaking, he gets interrupted. He's got the whole diatribe going. He's got it all happening. "I'm going to build these dwelling places," and he's excited. And while he's talking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadows them. And then from the cloud, the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." It's like the voice is going, "Peter, shh. Peter, just dial it back a little bit. Just a little. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And that's when they get afraid. They fall to the ground and they're overcome by their fear. And the first thing Jesus says, the Jesus they're supposed to listen to, get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. And of course, as I said, that's when they look up and they see just Jesus there. Now that would be quite an experience, wouldn't it? To have all of these things happen and to have the voice from the cloud to tell them, you know, this is my son, the beloved. I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus has things to say that I want you to hear. Now, for those of you who are parents or aunts and uncles or who've ever had any authority over children of any kind, when you want their attention, listen to me. Right? My grandma was good, the little finger. You listen to me. And it means you got to pay attention because your life's about to change somehow. They're kind of having that moment. But here's the thing. All of these crazy, wild, wonderful things have happened. They've encountered Moses, Elijah, Jesus, of course. They're coming down the mountain. And Jesus ordered them, according to our scripture, tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Wait, what? This crazy, fabulous thing happened and we got afraid, but it's going to be okay because you said not to be, and you don't want us to tell anybody about it until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. So now, Jesus, you're telling us that you're going to die and be raised from the dead too, but still we can't tell anyone. I have a couple theories about that. Maybe Jesus didn't want them to tell anybody about it because he was afraid of what retribution they might get, and that perhaps word would get out and he would be crucified sooner or die sooner or something, and it would mess up the divine plan of things. That's one of my theories. And again, it's only my own thinking. The other one is, well, perhaps he was afraid if they told about it that all of their friends and the people they were talking to would judge them and not believe them and think that it was too bizarre and too strange. Have you ever had something different to tell everybody than what people were used to? If I were to do something to change up the worship service drastically, would you be able to hear it in the same way and experience it in the same way? And, well, we've never done it that way before. Come on, y'all know that's happened, right? It's a church. We don't do it that way. We've never done it. Well, the things that these people would be saying, Peter, James, and John, that's never happened before. People don't transfigure in people's face, Jesus is, and anybody else's shine like the sun and change their clothes into a dazzling white. That doesn't happen. Those are my two theories. I don't know if they're right, but I know this. I know that what Jesus promises is true. And I know that we all, even if we're not on top of a mountain and experience God's splendor and all the things that go with that, I know that we have mountaintop experiences, those times when our lives are changed drastically because of all that Christ does for us and that we can see when that happens. And if we were to stay up on that mountaintop, if we were to stay in that experience, which would be glorious, who would know about it because we wouldn't go off the mountaintop or come from there and tell other people about it? People wouldn't experience us as we're different. People wouldn't understand all that is about Christ if we didn't share that. And in fact, when these guys came down off the mountain, because they did, and because they eventually shared their story, we know what happened too. Now, I've never met Moses. I've never met Elijah, much to my daughter's chagrin, who thinks I'm about as old as dirt itself. But I know that what they talk about is true also. And because of the stories that have been carried through the centuries, We too can be grounded in our faith, and it's our responsibility to come down off those mountaintops to share those experiences with Jesus and God and Christ and all that it is with other people to help bring them hope as well. The church year is kind of a funny thing. You realize it wasn't that long ago that we celebrated Advent and Christmas and Epiphany. And in just a couple of days, we're going to be in the season of Lent, working our way towards the cross on Easter Sunday and the empty tomb. It wasn't that long ago we celebrated that Jesus, the Son of God, as a small babe, born to the world as a God in human form, who shares in all that is this human condition. Today we celebrate the Transfiguration, which is a unique moment high atop a mountain where humanity gets to experience and share in the gloriousness of God's divine glory. The residents of heaven, Elijah and Moses, talk with him, and too, the disciples get to witness his glory, and we get to learn of that story too. So as much as we want to hang on to those mountaintop experiences, as much as we want to hold on to those moments with God and keep them all for ourselves and dwell in and among Jesus, we also have to dwell and live among one another. And we can share the news about Jesus accepting his role in the world, what he said about himself, and what is to happen that is truly God's will. That we're to listen to Jesus' teachings, just like that voice out of the cloud telling the disciples, listen to him. We too listen to him. We need to learn about our love for God, share that with our fellow human beings, and as we prepare to enter into the season of Lent, which will, as I said, take us to the cross and on into Easter, my prayer for all of us is that we can listen, truly listen with our hearts and our souls, to what it is that God's beloved Son, Jesus, is teaching all of us. Amen.